good as it gets for us.
We're about ready to get
started. Thank you for running.
Judge Taylor's still working the room, and that's okay. I just want a little housekeeping things. First of all, we have these little red cards.
I'm Chris Taylor.
Yes.
I just heard from my daughter, and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad you're going."
In English and in Spanish.
I am.
So that if you have friends that need to pass these out to, take more than one. Take two or three. Take a dozen. Whatever. The other thing is we're doing a poll watch and collecting names of people who would like to become poll watchers. It's a really easy job. Republicans have been doing it for years. This is the first time we've actually recruited poll watchers. And all you do is you go in, you inform the clerk that you're there, you sign in, and they direct you to a chair that you sit at, and you just sit and watch the procedures as people vote. It's real easy. It's non-stressful. Anyway, so with that, also I want to point out we have a number of local candidates here, and after Judge Taylor has a chance to give her remarks, we're going to ask them to speak. So don't just jump up and rush off. Let's give a few minutes for our local candidates. So with that, we'll invite Judge Taylor to come up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You've all had an opportunity to shake hands and get to know her. She is obviously very friendly. She's a mother, and not just a judge, but a mother.
Yeah.
And not a politician.
Yeah.
She's nonpartisan. But she leans liberal, so that's what we want. with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Oh, great. Well, hello, everyone. I am so happy to be back in Black River Falls. This is my third trip here. I was here for the Ho-Chunk. I went to the powwow. It was so incredible. And then I came to the Fall Festival, of course. But it is such a thrill to be back. Thank you all so much for coming. And Linda, for the job you do, incredible job, and all of the volunteers. So it's just a thrill to be here. How many of you are fired up to protect our democracy?
Yes.
All right. How many of you are fired up to protect our fundamental rights and our freedoms?
Yes.
Well, so am I. And that's why I'm running to be your next state Supreme Court justice. We have an incredible opportunity to protect and expand a pro-democracy majority on this court that is going to put the people of the state of Wisconsin first, that is going to protect our rights, our democracy, and stand up to the overreach of the federal government that we are seeing. And I am fired up to do this. It has never been more important in my lifetime that we have a strong court that cares about the people of this state and protecting the people and our state. So how did I get here? I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I don't come from a family of lawyers. I don't come from judges. I come from really hard working people. My grandmother was a single mom to my mom for most of my mother's life. And she struggled to make ends meet until she got a union job. And that union job enabled her to earn a fair wage and to support my mother and her two brothers and to help her three kids go to college. They all became public school teachers. And I learned from my grandmother, who I was so close with, that laws that lift people up and help people improve their lives allow working people not just to survive, but to thrive. And I want everyone in the state of Wisconsin to have the opportunity to thrive. So I decided that one of the most important things I could do was help bring the law to life and represent people and make sure that they are getting access to justice. So here I am, I graduated from law school 30 years ago, more than that, actually. And I have a really diverse, rich legal career. And I think it makes me really uniquely qualified to be on the state Supreme Court. I started out as an attorney in private practice, just representing your average person who was having legal problems, mostly in the family law area. So after many years of doing that, I got a job with Planned Parenthood. I was the law and policy director for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, and I worked to make sure that reproductive health care was available and accessible, and that individuals got the right to make their own private health care decisions. After I was there for about 8 years, and in 2011, I did a big U-turn. I did something I never thought in my wildest dreams I would do. I ran for the state legislature. I'd never run for anything except junior class president in high school. So it was real a big turn, but I was worried about our state in 2011. We were seeing the rollback of funding for public education, workers' rights, women's rights, and it worried me. It worried me for my two young kids. My kids were real little when I ran. I had a six-month-old baby and a four-year-old son, but I wanted the best for them, like I do for every single child in our state. So I ran in a six-way primary. I won, which I didn't know necessarily. I said to my husband the night before the election, "Do you think I could win?" And he was like, "Yeah, I think you could." So that was just absolutely thrilling, but I was so honored and privileged to be in the legislature for 9 years during some really tough years. And I did my best to work on things that I thought were really important for the people of the state: access to affordable health care, making sure our water was clean and our environment was safe, and of course doing what I could to make sure working people who actually made the pie got a slice of it instead of the little crumbs. By 2020 though, I was ready to go back to the courtroom. I missed being in the judicial system and being active. And I thought it would be an honor and a privilege, and I thought I could do a lot of good as a judge. So I went through the application process, and I got appointed by Governor Evers to the Dane County Circuit Court, and then I was elected that next fall. On the circuit court, my job and my priority was to make sure that everyone was treated fairly, that I listened to people. I gave them the chance to present their cases, and then I respected the constitutional rights of victims that were before me and the accused. In 2023, I had an opportunity to run for the Court of Appeals, where I am now. I was elected by Wisconsinites from 24 counties, red, blue, and purple counties, and that's where I sit. Why do I want to run for the state Supreme Court? I alluded to it when I first started talking. It has never been more important in my lifetime to have a strong court to defend our democracy. Well, how does the state Supreme Court do that? The state Supreme Court holds the other two branches accountable when they act unconstitutionally or unlawfully. And let me give you an example of how our state Supreme Court has done this. In the last couple years, the state Supreme Court struck down legislative districts. They found them to be unconstitutional. And as a result, new legislative maps were passed. They're more competitive for people. That is an example of our state Supreme Court striking down activities of our legislature that are unconstitutional.
That was crucial.
And it made, thank you, that made a difference to our state. How else does our state Supreme Court protect our democracy? Well, if you all remember, after the 2020 election, there was an effort to overturn our election, which no independent group was saying was unfair or there was anything wrong with it. Our state Supreme Court rejected that attempt to overturn our election by one vote. Just one vote, okay? That's how important our state Supreme Court is. The other way that our state Supreme Court is so important right now is protecting our rights. We have constitutional rights to speech, to peacefully protest, to walk down the street and not be subjected to unreasonable government intrusion. And we must have the right to make our own private decisions about our lives. And all of these things are at stake in this election. Our state Supreme Court just last year struck down an 1849 abortion ban. I want to say the year again, 1849, that if implemented would have criminalized abortion care under most circumstances and sent physicians to jail. So that's how critical our state Supreme Court is. These really important decisions are only being made by one vote. That's it, one vote. And there is a 4-3 pro-democracy majority on the court now. However, we have five elections coming up. Four after my election. The composition of this court can change on a dime. And we must make sure this court is independent. This court stands up for the people, stands up for our rights and our democracy. Now let's talk about my opponent. We, on the big issues, the important issues of the day, could not be more different. I have spent my life trying to protect and defend people's rights, and she has spent a large portion of her legal career trying to take those rights away. She was Governor Walker's attorney. She defended some of, I think, the most harmful pieces of his agenda, rolling back workers' rights, our right to vote, reproductive health care. We cannot depend on her to protect our very important rights. She has been a vocal opponent of access to reproductive health care, calling the overturning of Roe versus Wade very wise. And she has stated that she would have implemented that 1849 abortion ban, jeopardizing the health and the lives of Wisconsin women. Let's talk about democracy. Well, what has she done for that? Well, she was the attorney who defended Scott Walker's gerrymandered maps. In her last race in 2022, she was supported by the same individuals who tried to overturn our election, including former Justice Michael Gableman. And as a judge on the Court of Appeals, she has written a recent decision that would have released voters' private information to the public. Now, thankfully, that was overturned by our state Supreme Court. Anybody guess? Some of the same out-of-state right-wing billionaires who were in our state last year trying to buy a seat on our state Supreme Court. We are now seeing Governor Scott Walker come in and activate his network of dark money groups to support her. And we know they want her to be on the court because she will be a rubber stamp for their agenda. The state Supreme Court. So what that means for us is we need to mobilize as I need your support. I'm running to be a justice for you, not some out-of-state billionaire and the most powerful special interests. The people of Wisconsin deserve a justice who's going to stand up for them, for their rights, for fairness, for our democracy, for our state. Okay, so that is what is at stake. We can win this race together. Fairness. And we have an opportunity to say that loudly and clearly on April 7th. So please talk to your friends, your family members, your neighbors. Let them know what's at stake. Tell them you want a court where all Wisconsinites have a fair chance. You want a court that protects our democracy and our elections. And you want a court that's not for sale to the highest bidder. We can elect a justice for the people. That's me. So let's do this together. Are you with me?
Yes. Yes.
I am so excited to partner with you to win this race. We got to get the word out now, but we can do it. We can do it together.
So I'm happy to, Linda, I don't know if you want me to take questions or...
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And I do want to point out, we are, I should have said this, PBS is here. They are doing a... said that before I talked, but if you don't want to be on camera or if you're, you know,
it's
if you
too late.
It's too late. It might be too late. But if you want to ask me a question privately, that's okay too. I will stick around, okay, for that. So don't feel like this is, you know, I'm cognizant that maybe people don't want to. Yeah.
Let's all stick together and embarrass another billionaire with a failed attempt at buying a judgeship in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Has he made any moves to get involved in this race yet, Mr. Musk?
Oh, Mr. Musk. I don't think we're going to physically see him, but I think we'll feel his money.
Yeah.
He didn't get involved in the last race until mid-February. Mm-hmm. So we're watching that very closely. But there are a lot of other out-of-state billionaires who supported my opponent in the past. Mm-hmm. And they're giving her money. Her average contribution from individuals is $1,800. Mine is like $83. So that right there, you can tell, you know, who has the grassroots support. Mm-hmm. But we've got to mobilize it. I mean, we have to make sure that people are energized to turn out.
How much do you think you have to raise in order to win?
A lot.
More than 2 million?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. Probably closer to 10.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, guys, you've all got donation envelopes. And when you have them filled out, just raise your hand and I'll come and get it.
And I cannot ask for money from
anybody. No, I know.
So Linda can do what she wants. I am not doing that.
Not shy, either.
I know. No. I don't think anybody ever called you shy, Linda.
No.
No. No.
No.
No. No. Anybody else? Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought I heard not too long ago on public radio that you raised $200 million and your opponent raised $200,000.
Oh, not quite.
That would be nice.
That would be... Wow, now that would be a record. No, I raised through December 31st, $2.6 million.
Yay.
And she raised a little less than $200,000.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes, I mean, I am working really hard to have the resources because I'm not running for the billionaires. I can't pick up the phone and make my 10 calls mm-hmm. to the whatever, how many billionaires, and she can. I mean, that's the difference.
But, you know, one thing in your favor is, like you say, you're getting smaller donations. That means you're getting donations from a lot of people.
Exactly.
And if she gets big donations, it's from a relatively small number of people.
And people who can't
so
really
just
vote.
Keep working for us.
People are supporting this campaign from every corner of the state, every county, every little town, big town. I mean, I am so excited. I think I had over 19,000 contributions. Mm-hmm. And 15,000 of those contributions were for $100 or less.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think her total was like 116 through our last report, total donations. So I am so grateful for the support, but we've got to get through the finish line. We have 59 days to do this. We can do it, but it's going to take you all doing whatever you love. You don't have to do everything, just do something. Just do something, whether it's sending an email to your friends and family, you know, writing a postcard, making a phone call. Baking cookies for volunteers. That is really important to keep people going.
Thank you.
So, but let's, you know, I'm just so excited that we can do something, that we can make a difference in our state. And that is so inspiring. And the work you all do is so inspiring to me.
So I have a question. Do you think in your term, can we get rid of the gerrymandered congressional districts?
So let me tell you what's going on with that. So there has been two cases that have been filed right directly to the state Supreme Court. Those cases have been assigned to panels of trial court judges who are going to make the fact-finding and do the trials. So that is what's going on right now with those cases. Probably they will end up coming back to the state Supreme Court. So I can't say how I would rule on any case. No judge can. But I very much take to heart George Washington's words that the people have the right to pick their elected representatives. That's the founder of our nation, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. That is the spirit of our democracy.
Will that all occur, do you think, before 28 elections? Or
probably. I would imagine. I don't know exactly the schedule for the trial.
So I can't imagine it would happen before the 26th election.
I think that would be hard to go through trial. Mm-hmm. They're going to probably have trials and evidence and all of that. So I think that would be probably difficult. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine sometime this
before
year. I think their trials are happening next year. Yeah.
Good.
Well, I am so excited to work with you all. We can do it, and I really appreciate you all coming out. This is such a great turnout. And, you know, any questions? We have literature, we have placards, we will have the yard signs, I'm told, next week.
Yay!
So, but we want to make sure that you all have what you need.
And we're going to have a billboard for you up on Highway 54 heading towards the casino. So everybody, watch out for that.
Oh, fun.
And we'll get the yard signs out.
Yeah. I've never had a billboard. Great.
Make sure you're smiling.
I hope so. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's your standard picture.
Oh, okay. There you go. I think I'm smiling. Yeah.
I just have one question. Why do I carry my U.S. passport 24/7?
Yeah,
and I'm also worried about Rodney. He's running for Congress. He will be deported.
Yeah. Let me say this. I hear a lot of fear from people when I go around the state. People are worried. They have loved ones and family members and kids and grandkids in Minnesota. And we have seen what has gone on. It underscores why it's so important to have courts that are going to hold everyone accountable when they break the law. And everyone is subject to the law. No one is exempt. We have a constitution that everyone has to respect. So I understand as I go around, there's a lot of fear, but we have got to have a strong court to stand up for our rights and for our democracy, and to make sure everyone is accountable. The most powerful and the most wealthy still must be held accountable when they break the law.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, it's a person who started the question, our Supreme Court of the one in relation to a lot of these issues. Mm-hmm. They sit back there and they sit on their hands. Mm-hmm. They don't say yes, they don't say no, they just let Trump do what he wants. It's pretty ugly.
So one of the core functions that we are so dependent on from the judiciary is that function I talked about, holding the other branches of government accountable when they act unlawfully or unconstitutionally. That is what the judiciary does. Right? That's the checks
supposed
and balances.
It's supposed to.
And I think, honestly, if you look at these lower federal courts, the district courts, they're working really hard. They are inundated with cases. They are trying to make fair decisions. And it goes up. It might get to the Court of Appeals. Those that reach the U.S. Supreme Court, so many are stayed or overturned on this shadow docket that they're using so much. And so that's the reality, but I think these lower federal courts are really trying hard to make their decisions.
Yeah.
But we don't just have the federal system, we have our state courts. So let's not forget about the state courts. The state courts are really important here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much. I'm going to stick around. I know we have other guests that I can float around, but I really appreciate your attention. Thank you all.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.